Today's shiur will be beginning Maseches Bava Basra Daf Tzadi Hei Omed Aleph. We'll be starting the fourth line from the top. Before beginning the shiur, we recommend printing out the Daf Gemara, and even better than that, ordering your personal volume of Maseches Bava Basra from the Shas Ozer Premark Gemara edition. Today's shiur will be picking up in the middle of a discussion that began on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. One might recall Shitas Rav Huna dealing with the issue of margin of error in sales and other related topics. The question is, what happens if there is a violation or an excess over an acceptable margin of error? When rectification must take place, is one expected to rectify the entire situation to the point of perfection, accuracy, or is one expected to make the rectification only to cover the point of excess over the acceptable margin of error? Rav Huna's opinion was that if margin of error was violated, then rectification must encompass the entire margin, the entire basic margin of error as well. We have been employing geometric symbols, as is characteristic of the Shas marking system, the Gemara marking system, whereby geometric symbols are employed to express the idea of a series to connect related ideas. In this particular case, we were using the volcano shape that at times had the narrow section pointing upwards and at times pointing downwards. As was explained on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, with the narrow section of this geometric shape pointing upwards, they were questions on Rav Huna's opinion. With the geometric form with narrow section pointing downwards, the ensuing section of Gemara served to support Rav Huna. We're picking up with Daf Tzadi Hei Omed Aleph with number 7, the geometric form, the volcano form, pointing the narrow section pointing downwards, indicating a support for Rav Huna. In addition to number 7, if you just scan a little bit ahead on the page, you'll notice a number 8 that follows a few lines later. That's one of the advantages that the marking system proposes, and that is the ability to see where you're going ahead of time. This particular source that number 7 will be introducing concerns the topic of ono. Ono is a halacha whereby one is not allowed to charge for products of sale over accepted market values. There are three subdivisions in the realm of overcharging. One is called less than the shirono, which is less than 1/6. Person overcharges a seventh and a mere eighth or less over the accepted rate. We say that the deal goes through and no compensation is to be offered. The other extreme is called bitul mekach, whereby the overcharge was more than a sixth. When we speak about overcharge, it should be noted that it's a two-way street. You can have a situation where a seller overcharged, ripped off the buyer. There are situations where buyers cheat out the seller with the same percentages, just the other direction. They underpay a rate that's more than a sixth of the value of the item. We'll call it a big ripoff. That being said, when you're dealing with a ripoff of more than a sixth, that's called bitul mekach, and the deal is called off. There's a middle category, third category. We can call that the shiur ono, which is 1/6. At that point, we say the deal stands, and in the source that we're about to read, we say that the discrepancy, there must be a refunding that takes place. Before we read the Gemara inside, you notice on the daf that appears on your screen, and hopefully you've had a chance to print it out by now, a few lines of Gemara that are in a frame. The framed sections in the marking system represent Tanaic sources, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises or restatements thereof. This marking serves to set it off from the rest of the Gemara text. As you scan down the page, you'll notice more framed sections. In fact, a large percentage of the Gemara, of the Talmud, contains Tanaic sources, which, generally speaking, are easier to learn than the standard Gemara text. Let us proceed and emphasize the main point which is relevant to our sugya. Toshma. Ho'oino. Aleph. Example, Aleph, and you notice there are little letters, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, the three categories we already introduced. Pochos, Mishtus, Nikne, Mekach. If the discrepancy, the ripoff, is less than a sixth of the market value, the deal goes through. Beis, Yoiser, Mishtus, Bitol, Mekach. If the ripoff is greater than a sixth of the value of the item as defined by the market, then the deal is called off. Shtus, if the discrepancy is one-sixth, kana, the deal goes through, umachzir oino. Notice we've dashed and underlined this expression. This is the key expression as far as our sugya, as far as our topic is concerned. It says that the deal goes through, and the overcharge, the sixth, machzir oino, must be refunded. What's implied by this expression is all of the overcharge is to be refunded. What did we say was the acceptable margin of error? Less than a sixth. If the overcharge is just a bit under a sixth, the deal would go through and no refund is made. If it's exactly one-sixth, what does it say here in the source? The entire amount must be refunded. That, in effect, would support Rav Huna's idea. Amai, the Gemara asks, why is it that all of the sixth is refunded? Lehader ad pochos mishtos. Why not have a minor refund, a kol shehu, a minuscule amount to be refunded, bringing it right under a sixth of an overcharge? And according to our rules, the deal would stand. And yet we don't say that. We say the entire sixth is refunded. Shma mino. We can conclude from this. Kol hechi deboi va'aduri. When there is a necessity of making a refund, kula mahader. The entire amount is refunded. That would support Rav Huna. The Gemara says not necessarily so. Hachi hashta. How can you compare this case with the case of Rav Huna? Notice a geometric form. This has been used in the previous, on the previous daf as well. It brings out the expression hochi hashta, which is, as far as this sukkah is concerned, the phrase used to deny the support factor or the question. In other words, it's a repudiation of whatever the Gemara was just trying to attempt. In this case, the Gemara had been trying to attempt a support to Rav Huna. Here the Gemara repudiates that. Hochi hashta. How can you compare? Hasam meikoro shove b'shove omale. In the case of a sale, the intention was that equal for equal, I'm paying you what the item is actually worth. And that was the understanding of the parties. The buyer, if we're talking about a case where the buyer eventually is ripped off, the buyer intended to pay exactly the item's value. Miu pochos mishtus lo yadia b'mona. Umochil inish. When there is an overcharge of less than a sixth, so it's not something noticeable, and people overlook that. Bearing in mind, let's emphasize once again, the person intended, his true intention was to pay exact value. If it's a little bit over, okay, people don't notice it, and they tend to overlook it. Shtus, when it's one-sixth, an actual sixth, yedia, it's noticeable. It's a noticeable discrepancy. Velo mochil inish. People will not overlook that. And the third category, yeser mishtus mekach tos u'botel mekach. Let us contrast that. Of course, this last point was that if it's more than a sixth, That's an absolute error, and the whole deal is called off. That is different than the case of a sale of fruits, where it's common for there to be debris in the purchase. And people are well aware of that at the initial sale. As opposed to the case of overcharging, people don't intend to pay a nickel over the actual price. Let's continue in the Gemara. Toshma, as you can see, the geometric form appears again, the inverted volcano shape, indicating another attempt to support Rav Huna. The source describes call him a gardener, someone that's hired to plant trees for a customer. So the fellow was hired to plant trees, and what is the din, what is the halacha if after the fellow plants the trees, a number of them don't seem to grow? They just don't develop. The source will tell us that the customer is expected to accept a 10% failure rate. That if he hired him to plant 100 saplings, then out of the 100, 10 won't necessarily grow, won't develop, and there's no case. It's acceptable. However, if it's more than that, we'll see in the source, and with the beauty of the markings, you can jump ahead even before learning the Gemara. Just notice the dashed underlined section a couple lines from here. The expression Megagolim of Asakol indicates that if 11 don't grow, then the gardener is expected to make full total refund for, he's got to provide the value or plant a total of 11 trees that will grow. And with that in mind, you see a support to Rav Huna's idea. Let's read this inside. Toshma, Hamakabel Soda Mechavero Lita. Someone is hired to plant a section of land with saplings. Hareza Mechabel Olov Eser Burios Lameo. The owner is expected to accept upon himself the phenomenon of 10 out of the 100 not developing. Burios meaning empty. For our purposes, non-developing. Yoyser mikan, if more than 10 do not develop, if 11 trees do not develop, megaglin olav esakol, the gardener is expected to plant 11 trees, 11 new trees in their stead. If we were to pause here, you would say, oh, here's a wonderful support to Rav Huna's idea. According to Rav Huna, if the margin of error was 10, and one went above the margin of error, in this case 11, what did Rav Huna say? A full refund must be made. And we don't say you just knock it down to under the margin of error. In this case, one might have suggested, well, the gardener should be able to refund one tree, and 10 anyway aren't expected to grow, but we don't say that. We say full refund must be made. The Gemara rejects this, and that appears in the form of Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. Omar Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. Kol Yeser Mikan. Anything above 10, any amount of trees above 10 that don't grow, Kibol Lita Mitchila Domi. It's like a new deal. It's like a separate deal. It's not similar to the case of someone weighing out fruits and debris appears in this particular basket of fruits or basket of grain. 11 trees that don't grow is simply like this gardener didn't do his job at all. This is explained in the Rashbam in greater detail. Let us take a look at that together. The Rashbam is found under the Gemara text, a few lines. Omar Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. Kol Yeser Me Eser Burios Le Mea. Everything above 10 non-developing trees out of 100. Ein Lanu Lechaivo Lafsor Velita Es Hayeser Al Eser Lonus Levad. We wouldn't even think to require him to refund only that which is above the margin of error. Darehu beoisoi moiser kishebo lita oiso ki ilu bo afshav lita sode acher mitchila domi. When you have a fellow who planted 11 non-producing trees out of 100, it's as if he's coming to plant a new field. Sharei karka harbe yesh shiroi lita. With 11 trees that didn't grow, there's a lot of ground here that needs to be fixed. The choshuv sode shalim b'fnei atzmoi, and it's considered a separate field. Varehu ki'ilu lo osa klum me'ikora mekablenuso. We look at this guy, this gardener who was hired to do 100, and he did 89. It's as if he didn't do his job from the very beginning. Shari kibel sode lita vadayin kishiyesh yeser me'asara burios are yesh lo sode lita. This fellow accepted upon himself a job of planting a field, and when 11 or more trees didn't develop, it's as if he left a field unplanted. Hilkoch kishomar lo baal habayis natali sodezu, when he was originally hired plant this field, lita es kol hasode omar lo, the intention was plant the entire field. Vare lo kiem es tano, by planting 89% of it, it's as if he didn't fulfill his original condition. Hechod nishar yud aleph buros, where 11 trees, 11% was left undeveloped, or 11 didn't develop. Ukshebol after v'lita, when he comes now to rectify the situation, yita es kulon, he has to plant all of them. De kemaschil achshav lekaimis tno domi, it's as if he is coming to start the deal at the very outset. Namely, it's as if he didn't do anything. Ube'ilon echad shiita lav klum hu, and by planting one tree, so he's not doing anything. Sharei haroiv shel sode nishtayar adayin shelo nato. This new section of ground, namely this 11-tree section of ground, is exactly that. It's an 11-tree section of ground, but by planting one, you've done practically nothing. However, if only 10 didn't grow, lo hikpid bal hasode badover muat kaze, the owner isn't preoccupied with that. Umishiroi likroi sode, and when a section of field is worthy of being called a field, kigon yudalef ilonus lekuf. Chashivi, the lo mochil klal, 11 out of 100 is considered the basic unit of field, and a person doesn't overlook that. Avol, and all of that, what we said now, is to be contrasted with the original Rav Huna case. Gabi tinoifes yeser miroiv lisa, debris that exceeds the 1/24th margin in the case of grain sales. Kevon de rova shachiach, since a 1/24th amount is common, mochilo ki ikotfei meroiva nami, when there's more than that 1/24th amount of debris, nami hamoisar yishalem, it is acceptable that the seller would refund the amount over the margin, over that acceptable margin of debris. Varova mochil, and the basic amount, the basic 1/24th, the customer will forego. Toleku lemei marhosam, there we can't say the following: kol yeser meroiva kvar kebol ahachzir lo es hasa mitchila domi. That anything above the 1/24th margin is as if he is restoring, he's coming to demand the entire original amount. Tosa zovin lei im rova tinofes. The deal was a sa'ah measure with an awareness that there would be 1/24th debris. V'chi mishalim le'moiser derova, and when there's a refunding of the amount above that rova, arei niskaimo mechirosa v'kayim tano v'lo domi le'mekarkoi, and it's not like the case of the field to be planted. The chashivi that has significance, the yud alav burios, 11 undeveloped trees, harehein sada hanikar li'einayim v'lo mochil midi, that's such a separate, significant entity in and of itself, and owners are not going to forego that. Aval yosem erova tinoifas demetatali, but more than 1/24 of debris in the portables, like in the case of grain sales, lekok peido kolkach. There isn't the same level of unacceptance. And as the Rashbam concludes here, and we've dashed underlined this because this is the main point, and from the case of the field and tree planting, we would not conclude what Rav Huna said, that one is expected to sift out all of the debris. With that, this particular sugya comes to a conclusion, and in order to find out the actual way the halacha rules on this, one would have to go beyond the Daf Gemara and pursue it in Shulchan Aruch to find how to paskin. We now begin a new sugya on the side of the Gemara. In the marked editions, we feature topic headings and structural notes. We title them Nosei for topic headings and Mivneh to introduce structural notes. In this case, we have a general topic called Nosei Kloli. We've indicated it goes until Tzadi Ches. Ad, it says in parentheses, Ad Daf Tzadi Ches. That's a rather long sugya. You rarely find Gemaras that last three dapim or topics that last three dapim. In this case, the general topic is the topic of wine. The Mishnah had mentioned someone selling a wine cellar, C-E-L-L-A-R, a place that wine is produced in barrels. If 100 barrels were being sold, the customer is aware, according to the Mishnah, that there'll turn out 10 of the barrels known as to be poor quality, known as koisisos. Koisisos is a word spelled with a kuf, even though there's a similar word with a chof indicating a cup, but here we're dealing with a type of poor wine quality. So there will be 10 barrels of this koisisos quality wine. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we're going to also note the immediate topic heading called the Nosei. Bi'eze loshon mochar martef hayayin. What was the language in the sale, in the initial sale? The katoni shalokech mekabel eser koisisos l'kol mea. That warranted the Mishnah ruling that the customer is going to accept 10 out of the 100 to be of this kosisos quality. In our introductory note, there's an asterisk that points a little bit further down on the same margin of the Gemara. The introduction here provides some level of detail which will be very helpful before in the understanding of the Gemara. Let us read together what has been noted. The reading continues at the point of the asterisks underneath the Mivneh heading. Ke hakdoma lesugya, as an introduction to this particular section, yesh ladas, one should be aware, sheyesh kama leshoinu shel mechira, there are several different expressions of sale. The kamo efshorios bema hu koinen. Also, there are several possibilities as to what a person receives. We've noted in this introductory section, Roman numeral 1, leshoinos mechira, and a few lines later, a Roman numeral number 2, ma koinen. Efshoriot. What does one receive? The main point to realize is that depending on the expression used, the item received will change. So first we'll list the different expressions. Aleph, Martef Shel Yayin Ani Mocherloch. I am selling you a Martef, a seller of wine. Beis, the second possible expression. Martef Ze Shel Yayin Ani Mocherloch. The significant difference here is the appearance of the word Ze. When a person uses the word Ze, it's creating a certain sense that I'm selling you this seller, and one should be aware of like whatever happens to be in the seller. And a third expression, Martef Ze Ani Mocherloch. Notice in this case, there isn't even mention of the word Yayin. The second category, Ma Konim. What are the possible, what are the different variables or possibilities of what one is going to be receiving, one's buying? One, Yayin Shikulo Yofe. The seller, C-E-L-L-A-R, the wine accumulation, the wine storage area, will be one of pure, good quality wine. That's Yayin Shikulo Yofe. A second possibility, Yayin Shekulo Yofe Avol Mekablolov Eser Koisisois Lameah, where 90% of the wine seller will have good quality wine, 10% of the seller will have poor quality, will be of poor quality. Third possibility, Yayin Hanimkar Bechanus. This is an expression that's used in the Gemara, literally meaning wine sold in pubs or saloons. However, for our purposes, we're not going to be referring to this expression as a literal translation, but rather, Yayin Hanimkar Bechanus would be a wine cellar that is all of Koisisois quality. Namely, the entire room is full of barrels of poor quality wine. A fourth possibility, Chometz, fermented wine. Chometz, translated often as vinegar. Vinegar being the result of wine that doesn't ferment in the proper high quality fermentation process that produces wine, but rather chemically something went wrong, we'll say, and it turned into chometz. Also a useful item, but of course having much less value than wine proper. As far as the sugya is concerned, we will not be emphasizing too much the logic behind the different expressions, but rather the procedure. What is the result of what expression? The sugya, if one scans ahead, will notice is heavily marked. The reason for this almost excessive use of markings is because we have so many variables. And in order to navigate and connect the relevant line that is found later in the Gemara with an earlier text, it will be necessary to have enough distinguishing marks in order for each one of us to connect up the necessary points. So, as we just mentioned, this is going to be a real task in Talmud navigation. And hopefully, with the marking system, we will be able to sail through this rather stormy section. Let us begin the Gemara inside. Martef Shel Yayin, V'chulei, the continuation had been, and it's been written in here, Mekablo Lov Eser Koisisos Lameah. This is a quote from the Mishnah found on Tzadi Gimel Omid Beis at the bottom. The result of such a sale, we said, is 10 Kosaso's quality out of the 100. Hechi domi. Under what circumstances was the initial sale made? The Gemara is going to present three lashonos, three possibilities, and you can see they're lettered Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. And the Gemara at each point will be telling you how each one of these expressions is kasha, is difficult to serve as explanation in the Mishnah. And one, of course, is going to wonder, what's the difficulty? The difficulty will be because of information found in a brisa, in a Tanaic source that we have not learned yet. So we'll be contrasting or comparing each one of these expressions with information found in a brisa that follows. Before we even continue, you can notice the structure of the Gemara. We already mentioned there's going to be an Aleph, Beis, and Gimel immediately. This will be compared with a framed source that appears a little bit later, the first frame source that comes after this. And in that source, you see as well some underlined expressions with an Aleph, Beis, and Gimel above each one of those expressions, paralleling each one of these suggestions that we're going to learn right now. So we're asking, Hechi Domi, how was the original sale made? E de Omar le Martef Shel Yayin Stam Kashya. If the Mishnah is to be understood that the deal concerned a wine cellar without any further qualifying remarks, then it'll be hard to understand the ruling of the Mishnah in light of information found in the Braisa shortly. Beis, e di amar lei, if the Mishnah case of accepting 10 out of 100, 10 barrels of kosisos out of 100, because the sale was made using the following expression, martef ze shel yayin, kashya, that too will not jive with what the Braisa says. And finally, Gimel, e di amar lei martef ze, if the deal was concerning this cellar and no mention of wine was made, kashya, the ruling of the Mishnah will also be hard to understand in light of the following Tanaic source. The following Tanaic source begins with the expression here, desanya, as is taught, but we must make reference to the geometric form that we're about to see. This diamond is explained on the outside margin under the heading Mivneh, Havlotas Braisais Litzurch Adiyun Be'omid Beis. The diamonds that are also accompanied by an Aleph and a Beis in a diamond as well, in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos text, are going to facilitate learning the Gemara on Omid Beis as well. So we have the first source. In the source, you will see each one of the expressions we just suggested and how the ruling in the source does not allow for the ruling of the Mishnah. What does it say? The source begins, Martef Shel Yayin Ani Mocher Loch. The Aleph here, notice, parallels the Aleph suggestion. What's the result if someone says, Martef Shel Yayin Ani Mocher Loch? Noisein Lo Yayin Sheku Lo Yofe. The customer is expected to receive 100% good quality wine. The Rashbam, toward the lower part of the page, Shekulo Yofe, the Stam Yayin Yofe Boinon. When you see the expression of Yayin without any additional qualifications, the assumption is good quality. Faloma Kablo Lof Eser Kosisois. And he's not going to accept 10 out of 100 poor quality barrels. The lodomi larova tinofis lisa. It's not like the case of debris in a measure of grain, the asura matlios te'enim lemea, and it's also not similar to the case of the 10 wormy figs out of 100. Why not? The lo chashivi. Those are insignificant. Velo shrichi umochil. And the gam shrichi, it's also common, and people overlook that. Avochovios shilyayin. When dealing with barrels of wine, dofer godelhu, kochovis b'fnei atzmo, each barrel is a significant entity in and of itself. V'gam lo shchiach kol kach. It's poor quality wine is not as common as wormy figs are. Vilkoch kiyomer le stamo, when the deal concerned wine without any further qualifications, yofe bo'inon. Continuing in the source. Martef ze shel yayin ani mocher loch. if the seller, the vendor, said, I'm selling you this martef ze shel yayin, what's the result? Noisei lo yayin hanimkar b'chanus. The buyer is expected to accept a complete martef of poor quality wine. Once again, that doesn't parallel what the Mishnah ruled. And finally, martef ze ani mochelach. If the vendor said, I'm selling you this cellar with its contents, then afilu kulo chometz igel, even if it turns out to be a martef of vinegar, the deal goes through. None of these rulings in the Brisa indicated something of 10% poor quality, 90% good quality. The Gemara, therefore, offers a resolution. The triangle form that you see here is explained in the outside margin as well. Shuvois l'sheilo hanal. These will be responses to the question. Namely, what was the deal made in the Mishnah that resulted in Eser Kosasos out of 100? The first answer appears here, la'olam, and number two is found at the top line of Omid Beis. Why will it be necessary to come to a number two? It's because we'll run into some trouble as we go along after we present the first answer. The Gemara proceeds. La'olam di amarle martef shel yayin stam. The deal of the Mishnah was that I'm selling you this martef of wine without any further words, any other qualifications. If that be the case, how does that jive with the Brisa? Utni bereisha the Brisa, and add into the understanding of the opening of the Brisa the following. Umekablo alav eser koisisois lemea. So let's reread the first line of the Tanaic source. There was a little aleph above that first line of the source. Martef shel yayin ani mocherloch, it said in the source. The ruling was noisei lo yayin shikulo yofe, and now you add umekablo alav eser koisisois lemea. That's the solution, and then the Brisa, if you accept this addition to it, would jive with the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, "Ubistam mimakabel?" Is that so? That if the martef was sold without any further qualification words, simply martef shel yayin, does the customer have to accept on himself poor quality? In other words, the 10% poor quality, v'hatani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya introduces a Tanaic source, Hamocher chovis yayin lechavero, noisein lo yayin shikulo yofe. When one is selling a barrel of wine, the expectation is that it must be kulo yofe. And we have added a dashed underlined under the expression kulo yofe, being the main point. Totally good, not with an acceptance of some fraction of the poor quality. The Gemara rejects this question out hand and says, shiny chavis, the case of a singular barrel being sold is different. De kulo chad chamrohu, it's one single unit of wine. That is very different than the case of a wine cellar that has numerous barrels in it, where there, one can easily understand that most of it would be expected to be good quality and some poor quality, as opposed to one barrel of wine. How could it possibly be that in one barrel of wine, where all the wine is together, that some will be good and some not good? Obviously, it's got to be all good. The Gemara asks another question. V'ha toni rav zvid debe raboshaya. We've used a diamond around Rav Zvid's name simply to refer in the following Gemara, when we get to Amid Beis, as the following is Rav Zvid's source. Rav Zvid taught the following source in the Yeshiva of Rav Oshaya. This source, again, will present terms of sale, expressions used in sale of martefs of wine cellars, and present halachic rulings as we go along. We're going to have to note, does this jive with what we have just taught? The source begins, Martef shel yayin ani mocher loch. Noisein lo yayin shekulo yofe. In this source it says that if you have a sale of a wine cellar without any additional qualification words, the expected sale is one of totally good wine. Martef ze shel yayin ani mocher loch. Noisein lo yayin shekulo yofe, umekabel olav eser koisesois lameya. If the ze word was added, then the customer accepts 10 out of 100 barrels of poor quality. Vezehu oitzer sheshanu chachomim b'mishnasenu. And this is the case of the martef that was taught in the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel Amid Beis. Before we started the Rav Zvid source, we understood that the Mishnah case was what? Martef shel yayin, without any ze words qualifying it. And in the Martef shel yayin case, we understood accepting 10% poor quality. Upon introducing the Rav Zvid source, we see that the acceptance of the 10% is when the word ze appears in the deal. So we have to now make up our minds, under what circumstances is the 10% poor quality accepted? The Gemara answers, Elo masnisin nami di omar le ze. The case of the Mishnah is also where the word ze was used. If that be the case, then the Mishnah would line up with the teaching in the Rav Zvid source. The problem, though, is when we survey the expressions, or the expression, Martef ze shel yayin, an expression, and survey the different sources in which that expression appeared, we're going to find some discrepancy. The Gemara asks in a very terse fashion, Kashya ze a ze. To appreciate this, let us take full advantage of the magnificent marking system. You notice in the space immediately to the right hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Tosfos, there's an arrow indicating Omid Aleph. That tells us to flip back or scroll back to Omid Aleph, find a parallel arrow, but when you're on Omid Aleph, you're going to expect it to say Omid Beis, and let us see what the arrows point to. So we do that, let's do it together. We find on Omid Aleph, first of all, toward the very bottom, we see the expression Martef ze shel yayin with an arrow, and if you just scan up a little bit further up the page, once again you see an arrow with an Omid Beis indication next to it. And likewise, on that line, it says, Martef ze shel yayin. What is the result of these expressions? Well, if you look at the Tanaic source called Diamond Aleph, you see Martef ze shel yayin resulted in, the source said, Noisein lo yayin hanimkar b'chanus. A Martef full of poor quality wine. In the second source, you see the expression Martef ze shel yayin in the Rav Zvid source. And what's the result there? Different. No sein lo yayin shekulo yofu mekabelo veser koses lameya. It's a very different ruling. That is the intent of the Gemara's question here. Kashya ze aze. The Gemara answers, lo kashya. We can resolve the two sources by introducing some more information. The Gemara will give its initial response and explain itself in the ensuing lines. Notice
that the answer itself will take a number of lines to develop. That's been indicated by a marking in the little space between the Gemara and the Tosis, namely to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a tuf that's circled with a vertical dashed line. That's a tshuva, or a teretz, that lasts for all of the lines that are parallel to the vertical dashed line. So we can now resolve the two sources as follows. Ha de omar le mikpeh, ha de lo omar le mikpeh. It depends. Did the customer say, I want to buy the wine for the purpose of mikpeh? Mikpeh is a situation where one adds wine to his cooking. When one adds wine to his cooking to make his food taste better, he has a certain expectation. In effect, he has an expectation to receive good quality wine. If he doesn't say that, then the result will be different. The Gemara will explain this in detail. Once again, starting, lo kashya, ha di amar le lamikpeh, ha de lo amar le lamikpeh. The words ha have been underlined. Those are pronouns. They're a reference to this source and the other source. The Gemara explains, the Rav Zvid source, and with the markings you can easily find that by flipping to Amud Aleph or scrolling back, and you'll notice the diamond Rav Zvid. The Rav Zvid source, the Amar Leila Mikpeh. What was the psak in the Rav Zvid source? The customer expects to receive Yayin Shikulo Yofeh, that 90% of it is high quality wine with 10% poor quality. That's because the customer said, I want it for cooking. I want the wine for cooking purposes. And it's also noteworthy that he wants it to last a long time as well, because when one uses wine for cooking, he uses small amounts that he adds along the way in the course of time. The Brysa, however, the other source, Brysa is a reference to diamond number one on Amud Aleph, the lo amar le lemikpeh. The customer didn't indicate that he wants it for mikpeh. Before we continue, let's glance at the Rashbam, at the second line from the top. Hod yomar le lemikpeh, Brysa de Razvid yomar yayin letzorech lahatim maichol. The Brysa that Rav Zvid gave, that cited, was a customer said, I want wine for making my food tastier. V'litein l'socha tavshil, ani mocher loch. The vendor said, I'm selling you wine that will be good for cooking purposes. Dahainu yayin toiv, u'miskayim harbe, and it also has a long shelf life. Shema'at me'at, mistavkin mimenu, people use that little by little. V'hilkoch, ahani, ma'idi omar le'le mikpeh, the sale was explained, there was an effect on the sale by that which was added, lo mikpeh, litein yayin toiv. Ve'ahani ze, and the expression ze, which appeared in the sale. Let's just recall that we were talking about a case, Martef Ze Shel Yayin. We're resolving the two expressions, the two sources that in both of which appeared the expression Ze. The word Ze has the effect of Lekabel Eser Kosisus Lamea. Let's go over a very significant point that we'll take advantage of later in the Gemara as well. You've got a push and pull situation. You've got two expressions that appeared in the deal having an effect. One a positive effect and one a negative effect. By using the expression lemikpeh, that had the positive effect in terms of guaranteeing good quality wine. We had also the expression zeh creating an allowance for a 10% of poor quality wine. This can, of course, be contrasted with a case where a fellow says, Martef shel yayin ani mocher loch, where the word zeh doesn't appear. And then another issue will come up. Did the customer indicate he wants it lemikpeh or not? Let's continue in the Gemara. As we said before, we're in the middle of a long answer. The Gemara now reviews some of the points we mentioned. We're going to be using lettering as we go along, and the significance of this lettering will be found as we go a few lines later as well. Hilkoch, martef shel yayin. If the sale used that expression, the omale lemikpe, and the parties said that it's going to be for mikpeh purposes. Notice, no mention of the word zeh. What's the result? Noisein lo yayin shekulo yafe. Another expression. Martef zeh shel yayin v'omale lemikpeh. Here, like the case just before, there was indication I wanted for cooking purposes. Notice the diagonal dashed underline. We've compared both of those, where the customer indicates he wants it for mikveh purposes. What's unique about the bay's expression here? The appearance of the word zeh. What's the result? Noisein lo yayin shekulo yafeh umekablo olav eser koisusos lemea. That it's basically a good quality wine. Most of it is high quality wine with an acceptance of 10% poor quality. Another situation. We have a bays over here. This bays tells you to align it with the bays just before. What is the expression here? Martef zeh shel yayin. Notice how the expression before also under the bays heading was martef zeh shel yayin. But here's the difference. Veloi omarle lemikpeh. We've dashed underlined velo to emphasize. Here, the difference is that he did not say, I want it for cooking purposes. What's the result? Noisein lo yayin hanimkar b'chanus. So if the expression of martef zeh shel yayin appears, the customer can be expected to accept an entire martef of poor quality wine. The Gemara asks, Ibayalaho, martef shel yayin. Notice the aleph here? That parallels the aleph before, where we also saw martef shel yayin. In the aleph case before, a few lines up, the mention of mikpeh appeared, and we found the result was 100% good quality. In this case, though, veloi omale lemikpeh, mai. The Rashbam also adds, very significantly, the word zeh also did not appear in the deal. So you have a case where someone's saying, I'm selling you a martef shel yayin. No qualifications. You have no push and pull situation. What can the customer expect to receive? To come to a knee-jerk or immediate conclusion and say, well, he's got to get totally good. But we saw above, when does a person expect to get totally good? That's if he says, I want it for cooking purposes. Here he didn't say that. So the Gemara answers, Pliki bo Rav Achav Ravina, Chad Omar Mekabel, V'chad Omar Lo Mekabel. There's an Amoraic controversy. One says that the customer is expected to accept. Mekabel means receive 10% poor quality. And the second opinion is, no, he's not Mekabel. He's not Mekabel poor quality. If the deal was Martef Shel Yayin, he can expect, according to opinion number two, pure wine, pure barrels of good quality wine. As far as each one of these opinions are concerned, the one and the two, the Gemara proceeds to show how each one arrived at their decision in Psak. That is indicated by the coming lines. You notice the squiggling line expression, Man Diomar Mekabel, and a few lines later, third wide line again, a squiggle underline, Man Diomar Lo Mekabel. These are the two opinions. We also notice above those two expressions, the diamonded one and two. Again, these line up with what we just saw. We also see two more diamonds appear. First diamond saying, Diek Midrav Zvid. As we promised you on Omer Aleph, this diamond is to be aligned with the Rav Zvid on Omer Aleph. And likewise, on the third wide line, you see the Diek Mi Braisa. This is to be aligned with the Braisa source that you also saw on Omer Aleph. I hope everyone is getting the feeling of the intense need of navigation tools that we are currently taking full advantage of. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, we've provided something that might be of great review value. On the inside margin, there is an asterisk accompanied by expression tavla chart. This chart features the conclusions of the Gemara before we come to this new case, the new question case, namely the new case of Martef Shel Yayin without the expressions Mikpeh nor the expression Zeh. What had we learned till that point? So let us glance at the chart, which should serve also as a valuable review tool. We see on the right-hand side of the margin, in the first box, Martef Shel Yayin, and right under that, Martef Zeh Shel Yayin, the two possible expressions of sale. Across the top, you see Omar LeMikpeh, and on the finally, across the top, on the left-hand side of the chart, Lo Omar LeMikpeh. If what happens if the mikpeh expression appears, and what happens if not? So, let's take a look at the first possibility. The first possibility would be Martef Shel Yayin, and the expression of LeMikpeh appeared. What was the result according to the Gemara? Notice, you have here everything positive. You've got the Martef Shel Yayin without the word Zeh, and you've got Mikpeh. What's the result? Eino Mekabel Eser Kosisos. That was it, that the customer receives 100% good quality wine. Continuing across the top, the deal was, let us say, Martef Shel Yayin, and the customer did not say LeMikpeh. This was not dealt with as of yet in the Gemara, and that in fact is part of the question we're going to be dealing with now, and we've indicated on the chart, Ibaya Loho Bagemara. That was a question, that is the question of the Gemara, and Yishtei Deos, two opinions as to that particular case. Continuing on the chart, we go to the lower line, the lower cross line. Martef Zeh Shel Yayin, the sale includes the expression Zeh, which is, we said, was an expression that was a negative result. Namely, with the appearance of Zeh, the customer becomes aware he's not going to get 100% good quality. However, we also have the case where the customer said, I want it LeMikpeh, I want it for cooking purposes. Or the seller said, I'm going to sell it to you for cooking purposes. The result of that was Mekabel. Namely, he is Mekabel Eser Kosisos. That's 10% out of 100. And finally on the chart, the case of Martef Zeh Shel Yayin, and no mention of Mikpeh was used, the result, Yayin HaNimkar Bechanus, that the entire Martef might be of poor quality. As we started in the Gemara, before looking at the chart, we introduced a case, a variable situation, where the customer or the deal concerned Martef Shel Yayin without the expression Mikpeh. We said two opinions. One was since there was no use of the word Mikpeh, the customer is expected to accept 10% poor quality, and the other opinion, no. Since the word Zeh was not used, it was Martef Shel Yayin was used, he expects 100% good quality. The Gemara on the first wide line continues. Man de Omar Mekabel, the opinion that says he does accept poor quality, Diek mi de Rav Zvid. He infers from the Rav Zvid's source, de Kotoni. The Rav Zvid source said the following, Martef Shel Yayin Ani Mocher Loch, Noisein Lo Yayin Shekulo Yofe, V'ukimna, and we set up the Rav Zvid source, the Omar Leila Mikpeh. The customer, or the seller, indicated, this is a deal for cooking quality wine. What did the source rule? 100% good quality. With what attachment? The expression LeMikpeh. Taima the Omar Le LeMikpeh. What is the reason that it was 100% good quality? Because of that expression. Ha loy Omar Le LeMikpeh. If no mention of Mikpeh was used, Mikabel, then He accepts the 10% poor quality. What we've done with our markings, we've emphasized the expression lo amale lemikpe mekabel. That was the case we were just dealing with. And this is where opinion number one came from. Uman di amar lo mekabel. Opinion number two that said if you have a deal of martef shel yayin ani mochelach and no mention of mikpe was, the customer expects to receive 100% good quality. Diek mi brisa. He came to his conclusion from the brisa source. That was the source number one in the diamond on Omid Aleph. What did it say there? Dikotani. Martef shel yayin ani mochelach. Noisein lo yayin shekulo yofe. V'ukimna. And we set up that source. The lo omale lemikpe. Well, he was set up where no mention of mikveh was used. That's how we explained diamond source number one, and hence the opinion that says lo mikabel gets it from here. The Gemara goes on to say, well, if everything we've said is correct, what does opinion number one do with the brisa, namely the brisa which was found on Omid Aleph diamond, the diamond one source on Omid Aleph? And we've indicated this questioning because it's going to repeat itself with a double underline. A few lines later, you see the question asked on the other opinion, the opinion that was medayek from the brisa, and which held that when mikpe is not used, he's not mekabel. What does he do with the Rav Zvid source? Let's continue in the Gemara. Uleman the diek midrav Zvid. That was opinion number one. What did opinion number one say? That he is mekabel, and he was medayek that from the Rav Zvid source. Kashya brisa. The brisa says explicitly that if you use the expression martef shel yayin, and the Gemara explained mikpe wasn't used, so you're not mekabel. How can he rule that you are? More answers. Chisuri mechaser v'hochi katoni. What we have to do is we have to understand that there was missing text, missing section of understanding that we must add now, with which his psak will be understood. We treat chisuri mechaser type gemaras as if it's a Tanaic source with a frame. V'hochi katoni, and thusly it should be understood. We're now restating the Tanaic source diamond one on Omid Aleph. Bameh devorim amurim. Under what circumstances is it such that he's not mekabel, the poor quality? The omar le lemikpe. Only if mikpe was added, then he doesn't expect to receive any poor quality. Ha lo omar le lemikpe mekabel. Notice what we've done here with the markings that dotted. The dotted underline appears once again. It's just like we saw a few lines up, where mikpe is not used, mekabel, then he is expected to accept 10% poor quality. This is, of course, in line with the ruling of opinion one. Umartef ze shel yayin velo amale lemikpe. If that expression was used, you have the negative, namely the ze word appears, and you don't have the positive lemikpe. No saying lo yayin hanim kar bechanus. Then the result is the martef of completely poor quality wine. Uleman de diek mi brisa. The other opinion that said that in the case of martef shel yayin without the expression lemikpe, then he's not mekabel, poor quality. Namely, even without the expression of lemikpe, he expects totally good quality. Kashya de Rav Zvid, the Rav Zvid source would pose a difficulty. The Ukimna, we set up the Rav Zvid source, the Amar Leila Mikveh, Ha Lo Amar Leila Mikveh Mekabel. That according to the Rav Zvid source, the only time you get 100% good quality is if you do use the expression Lemikveh. Here, we're dealing with an Amoraic opinion that says that even without the expression Lemikveh, you expect totally good quality. More answers. Hu Hadin, the Afagav, the Lo Amar Leila Mikveh. As far as this particular Amoraic opinion, namely the opinion number two, he would say that the Rav Zvid source would accept the idea that even without the mention of the word lemikpeh, he does not accept poor quality. And why is it then that the Rav Zvid source was set up that he does use the expression lepeh? It's not to the exclusion of the absence of that word, but rather, it was necessary to set up the Rav Zvid source initially with the expression of lemikpeh, mishum dekashio zeh azeh, because of the problem that had been raised at the top of this omid of Gemara, in order to resolve the inconsistency in the two sources that we saw in omid Aleph when the word zeh was used. However, in the final analysis, as far as this opinion is concerned, we are to understand the Rav Zvid source as far as the section dealing with 100% good quality, whether he uses the expression of lemikpeh or he doesn't use the expression of lemikpeh. At this point, you notice a slash in the Gemara. This indicates that as we've concluded this particular discussion concerning terms of sale and expected results, the next section of Gemara will be dealing with a new topic, and that's introduced on the outside margin, or sorry, the expression under the no say heading, Ezo Brocha Mevorchim Al Yayin Shehikrim. What is the proper bracha that's to be made on wine that has become yayin koises, become poor quality? The Gemara begins, Omar Rav Yehuda, yayin hanimkar b'chanus, or as we refer to it as koses quality, mevorchin olav borei pri hagefen. V'Rav Chisda, Omar, Rav Chisda disagrees, and that you can see is indicated by a number two. He is, as opposed to the first opinion of Rav Yehuda, he says the following, Gabi chamro di akrim lomali. His response is, what do I have to do with wine that's going bad? As far as halachically, what are we to understand from Rav Chisda's expression? He's trying to say that I'm not going to make the specialized bracha, the Borei Pri HaGefen bracha, but rather, I'm going to make a shehakol. Meisvei, the Gemara brings a Tanaic source from which a question will arise. Before we even read the source, because the source will have different topics in it, let us just look at the emphasized section, the dashed underlined section. You see the expression yayin shehikrim, that's the koses. And at the end of the source it says, Shehakol Nieh Bidvaro. Well, if that be the case, then we have a problem for Rav Yehuda. The Gemara therefore asks, on Rav Yehuda, Meisvei, Al Hapas Sheipsha, on bread that has gone bad, become moldy, the Al Hayayin Shehikrim, wine whose going bad, the al tavshil she'ovro tsuroso, or some type of dish, some type of cooked dish, who's becoming a bit rancid, omer shehakol nieh bidvaro. These items don't receive their ordinarily specialized bracha. Bread usually would get a hamotzi lechem in oretz. The tavshil, if it's a vegetable tavshil, it probably would get a borei pri adama. But since they are going bad, each one of these items, they get the reduced quality bracha, the more generalized bracha. When we talk about high quality and poor quality, one has to understand it in a halachic context, not in some other form. But the more general the bracha is, we say that it's of less significance. And the more specialized the bracha is, we say it has greater significance. Being that as it may, we see here that Yayin Shehikrim gets a Shehakol, and hence a Kasha on Rav Yehuda. Omar Rav Zvid explains, Moide Rav Yehuda bepurtsama de mizdevin akarnasa. Rav Yehuda concedes that if something is of a very poor quality, this is wine that's less quality than the Yayin Hanimkar Bechanus. It's referred to by expression Purtsama de Mizabin Akarnasa. That type of very poor quality wine, in effect, will get a Shehakol. As far as the technical translation of that expression, one can look on his own in the Rashbam. Omale Abaye, the Rav Yosef. Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and raises the following. Ha Rav Yehuda, ha Rav Chisda. We've seen Rav Yehuda and Rav Chisda arguing regarding the Yayin HaKoises, or Yayin Shehikrim. Mor Keman Spirole. Who do you hold like? We will be concluding our shir, leaving you in suspense. As far as what Rav Yosef's opinion on this is concerned, we will have to wait till we come to the Gemara next time. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.